To my Anglo-Saxon Israelite family, greetings in the name of Yeshua Messiah, and may the divine influence be with you. This is part 10 of all the verses on grace and mercy. You can follow along with the article by going to thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Grace and mercy is found in the Word Studies menu. In part 9, we covered the Gospels and a few verses in Acts. We can see that the theme has not changed since Genesis. The English word grace has been used to describe the favor and acceptance shown to those who are upright and that do right in the eyes of Yahweh. The word grace isn't even used in Matthew. Mercy is used often in the Gospels, and mercy is still the compassion and loving commitment which Yahweh shows to those who repent, call upon Him, and revere and follow Him. Mercy is still connected to the covenant made with Abraham, and still only has been shown to the children of Jacob. In the Greek, mercy, G 1653, 55, and 56, eleo, eleemon, and eleos, which are the noun and verb and adjective forms, are the equivalent of mercy in the Hebrew, H 2617, kesed, and simply means the loving commitment and compassion which Yahweh shows towards His lovingly committed ones who walk in the way. The only difference in the New Testament's use of grace is when G 5485, charis, is used, which is the divine influence upon the hearts of our people, and its reflection in the life. You will notice Paul, in his epistles, will use it a lot. The divine influence is the merciful kindness by which Yahweh, exerting His set-apart influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in the Christian faith, which is the belief, and increases them in knowledge, affection, and kindles them to the exercise of the Christian virtues and way of life. In covering all the verses which use grace and mercy, we have not seen even one prophecy in the Old Testament that the church or anyone else outside the household of Jacob Israel that will be added to the covenant's promises, redemption, or salvation. Nor have we seen any reference in the Gospels regarding Gentiles or the church being included in that which was covenanted and promised to the children of Jacob. Nor will we see grace and mercy extend to the church or to anyone else in the rest of the New Testament. This is because these scriptures are the heritage, history, promises, and covenants of our race, the Adamic race of the children of the Most High. This is our story and our destiny. Yahweh is our Elohim, and we are His people. The churches and their 33,000 denominations can have their counterfeit doctrine and their Jewish Jesus. They will continue to be influenced by demons and believe in lies because their hearts and minds are seared, and they continue to daub untempered mortar to their foundation of falsehood. We can do our best to try to wake them up, but it's up to Yahweh to draw whom He will. Divine influence is upon those who will respond with action. It is the influence from Yahweh that will spark the Adamic soul and prompt him to examine His word, to understand it, and to continue in it by living as a true Christian. Many are called, few are chosen. Let's continue with our study. Paul and his company came to Antioch and began to preach in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Acts 13:26. Men, brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whoso among you reverence Elohim, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Be it known unto you therefore, men, brethren, that through this man, Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the laws of Moses. Even though we are to follow the law cannot justify us. The level of our obedience to the law is part of the level of justification. Christ didn't break the law, he fulfilled it. This is the example to seek and follow. Verse 40. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and hide from sight. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man relate it to you. And when the Judeans, meaning the Jew rulers, were gone out of the synagogue, the dispersed nations of Israel besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Judeans and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace, or divine influence, of Elohim. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of Elohim. This gospel message was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This grace, or divine influence, was part of the plan of redemption and reconciliation to Abraham's seed, if they return to Yahweh and continue in his ways. When the apostles taught in the synagogues, the people responded because the true message of the word was brought to them by the true disciples. The people were used to hearing the counterfeit message from the Jew Pharisees. Acts 14:1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they, Paul and Barnabas, went both together into the synagogue of the Judeans, and so spake that a great multitude both of the Judeans and also of the Greeks believed. See how if the synagogues were teaching the truth, they would have already been believers. Verse 2. But the unbelieving Judeans stirred up the nations, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the prince, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, or divine influence, and granted signs and wonders to be done in their hands. Then they came to Derbe. Verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, or the belief, and that we must through tribulation enter into the kingdom of Elohim. But wait, don't we escape tribulation in the rapture? Oh, wait, that's only if you have your flight booked with Jaime Jesus. Verse 26. Paul and Barnabas then sailed to Antioch, from where they had been recommended to the grace, or divine influence, of Elohim for the work which they fulfilled. Acts 15:11. But we believe that through the grace, or divine influence, of the Prince Yeshua Christ, we shall be preserved, even as the forefathers. Our ancestors were preserved in their lives because they followed the way, and because the promise made to Abraham. Saved is another misunderstood word, and it doesn't mean you are once saved, always saved. Saved means preserved, meaning act like a child of Yahweh's, and you will be shown favor and be preserved while you live during this test called life. By law, we deserve to be destroyed, but thanks to the promise made to Abraham, Yahweh will always keep an obedient remnant from each tribe to be the light of society. When you live as a lovingly committed one, you are being divinely influenced and therefore preserved by His loving commitment. Acts 15:40. And Paul chose Silas, and departing, being given over to the brethren by the grace, or divine influence, of Elohim. There was some dispute between Paul and Barnabas about taking John Mark. Mark may have been arguing about keeping the rituals, not fully yet understanding the reason for Christ's death. Which is why Acts is a book of transition. When Christ died, the ritual sacrifices were still going on because many did not understand what had just happened. Acts 18:24. And a certain Judean named Apollos, an Israelite, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the prince, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the prince, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Achaia and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of Elohim more perfectly. Achaia and Priscilla understood the difference between water baptism, which was a commission given to John to cleanse the Levites and prepare Christ for sacrifice, and baptism in the Word, which is the immersion in knowledge and understanding. They took Apollos aside and explained these things along with the end of the sacrifices. Verse 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, or divine influence. G 5485, Charis, is referring to the merciful kindness by which Yahweh, exerting His holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in the Christian allegiance, knowledge, affection, and kindles them to the exercise of the Christian virtues. It's Yahweh that chooses whom He will draw. This kind of grace is divine influence, which is given to those who are or will be lovingly committed. Paul was testifying to both the Judeans, meaning the Israelites in Judea, and also to the Greeks, meaning the Israelites outside of Judea, of repentance and of the belief, not the belief the Jews were teaching. He was about to go to Jerusalem, knowing the afflictions that await him there. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received from the Prince Yeshua, to testify the gospel of the grace, or divine influence, or favor, of Elohim. The gospel of grace. So did Paul go around teaching that grace overrules our sins and necessity to follow the law, to sit back and relax and know you're in by declaring yourself saved? Or did Paul teach that the gospel of grace is the favor that is shown to the descendants of Jacob because of the promises made to Abraham, and that This favor is shown to us who walk in Yahweh's law, and that this favor also includes the tribes of Israel that were dispersed and scattered during captivity and did not return to Jerusalem, and eventually forgot the law and their heritage, and that through Paul were shown and reminded that they too are under the same favor as the house of Judah was in Jerusalem. The message of grace is to the sons of Jacob. The divine influence on the heart of those who will repent and demonstrate loving commitment to their brethren. Acts 20:32. And now, brethren, I commend you to Elohim and to the word of his grace, or divine influence, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Since the word word means plan, do you think it was God's plan to just give everybody a free ticket? Or do you think that God's plan was to have his children follow his orders and, by doing so, are shown favor? Grace means favor, and it comes from acting upon the divine influence of his loving commitment. We Israelites are under his loving commitment and are all divinely influenced to seek him, but we all do not respond to it. The parable of the sower explains that most will not take root. Many will be eaten up and choked. A lot will dry up and wither, and only some will take root and flourish. Acts 25:3. And desired favor, or recompense, against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. Part of the definition of G 54:85 is bounty and recompense. The high priest Jews wanted to kill Paul for teaching the children of Israel their heritage and that they were under the promises made to Abraham, that if they returned to Yahweh, they would be shown favor and to be blessed. The Jews were asking Festus for a favor, or bounty, or recompense against him. But Yahweh's divine influence prompted Festus to keep Paul safe and properly try him in the court. Paul, along with several other prisoners, are on a boat bound for Rome. Bad weather drives the ship off course, and they are all shipwrecked on the island of Malta. Paul tells them no one shall lose their life, and that a messenger of Elohim, Acts 27:24, saying, "Fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and lo, Elohim has given, or graciously given, you all them that sail with you." They were witnesses of Yahweh's saving grace because they trusted the divine influence they saw in Paul. The people of Melita were kind and received them. Paul healed many of their sick and spoke to them about Yeshua. Paul was a Pharisee by profession and a sinner who persecuted his own people because of Jewish deception and influence. When Christ dealt with him on the road to Damascus, Paul was shown grace and mercy, which was divine influence, because he was chosen by Yahweh as a manager of his household and to bring them his word. Every usage of grace in Acts is from the word G 54:85, charis, which is defined and best used as divine influence. With every use, there is praying, repenting, conforming, learning, believing, and testifying of the loving commitment of Yahweh through his divine influence. Every instance of grace, favor, and divine influence is with Israel and never with anyone else or with the church. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Yeshua Christ, a called apostle, appointed unto the gospel of Elohim, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Yeshua Christ, our Prince, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. This is a lineal statement of ancestry, the same race, kin, and nation as David. The church and anyone else was never promised anything in the Old Testament or in the New. Verse 4. And declared to be the Son of Elohim with power, according to the spirit of set-apartness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace, or divine influence, and apostleship, for the obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. The King James Version does not have the definite article "the" in this verse in front of "nations." This leaves the interpretation vulnerable to include all nations, which would make the Bible a universal book for everyone, which it is not. The original Greek has the definite article "the," implying that this grace, or favor, applies to those of the race of Christ, and the favor comes with obedience to the faith. The faith is the belief. Verse 6, among whom you are also called of Yeshua Christ. Paul is stating that they are also of the same seed line of David. Many of the Romans were of the tribe of Judah through Zerah. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of Elohim, called saints, grace, or favor, or merciful kindness, or divine influence to you, and peace from our Elohim, our Father, and the Prince Yeshua Christ. The whole world here is referring to the Adamic world of Jacob Israel, the known society. The belief of you is referring to the faith, the truth, not the counterfeit. Verse 9, for Elohim is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of Elohim to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, or divine gratuity, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be summoned together with you by the mutual faith, or belief, both of you and me. G 5486, charisma, is divine gratuity, the spiritual gift of favor, knowledge, virtue, extraordinary gifts distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve the body of Christ, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating on their souls by the Holy Spirit. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace, or divine influence, through the redemption that is in Christ Yeshua, whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation through the belief in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of Elohim. Only our past sins are forgiven at the stake or cross. We must seek to walk in Christ's example always. This keeps us in his graces. This proves we are responding to his divine influence. Verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace. Justified means to prove or show to be just or conformable to law, right, justice, propriety, or duty, to defend or maintain, to vindicate as right. We are eligible for favor or grace when we are justified. Why would Yahweh favor those that do not maintain their duty? He may show the unrighteous favor in this life, but they will not receive it in that day. Those whose hearts and minds are seared are really used as examples and learning tools, and a test for those who are lovingly committed to demonstrate their loving commitment to their unrighteous brethren without expecting anything in return. If you are divinely influenced by Yahweh, it doesn't matter what anyone else does, so long as you are doing what you are supposed to be doing, which is storing up your treasures in heaven rather than enjoying your only reward in this life. Romans 4:4. Now to him that worketh, or performs rituals, is the reward not reckoned of grace, or divine influence, but of debt. The context is the sacrificial rituals, which were done away with when Christ died. The rituals were the atonement for sin, the debt, which was only for the year. The reward is from favor, not debt. Verse 13, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith or belief. For if they which are of the law be heirs, then the belief is made void and the promise made of none effect, because the law works wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of belief that it might be by grace, or what is due grace, or divine influence, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the belief of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Grace is due by obedience to the Torah and by belief, which Abraham had. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by belief, we have peace with Yahweh Elohim through our Prince, Yeshua Christ, by whom we also have access by the belief into this grace, or divine influence, wherein we stand, and rejoice in expectation of the glory of Elohim. We cannot have expectation of grace without true belief and allegiance. Allegiance is loyalty and obedience. You must have true knowledge and understanding, not the counterfeit. We must have the belief to access the favor. We must turn to the Greek for verses 3 through 5. And not only, but we should also boast in afflictions, knowing that affliction results in endurance, and the endurance a tried character, and the tried character an expectation, and the expectation does not disgrace, because the love of Yahweh has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit which is given to us. Romans 5:15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift, or divine gratuity. For if through the offense of one, Adam, many be dead, much more the grace, or divine influence of Elohim, and the gift by grace, or divine influence, which is by one man, Yeshua Christ, has abounded unto many. Notice many, not all. verse 16, "And not as it was by one, Adam, that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift, or divine gratuity, is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's, Adam's, offense, death reigned by one, much more they, which receive abundance of grace, or divine influence, and of the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Yeshua Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of Christ, the divine gratuity came upon all men unto justification of life." Justification is the act of justifying, a showing to be just or conformable to law. Verse 19, "For as by Adam's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of Christ shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might be great, but where sin was great, grace, or divine influence, did much more, or was much greater. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so grace, or divine influence, reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Yeshua, our Prince." Favor and grace through righteousness. Righteousness is obedience. We must be righteous to access favor. The wages of sin are death. Without the promise, we all die. Christ doesn't come, and Yahweh's will is not performed by His chosen ones. Again, grace is of the merciful kindness by which God, exerting His holy influence upon souls, the sons of Jacob, turns them to Christ by divine influence, keeps, strengthens, increases them in the Christian loyalty, knowledge, affection, loving commitment, and kindles them to the exercise of the Christian virtues. In chapter 6, Paul discusses the relationship between the children of Israel and sin. Romans 6:1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace, or divine influence, may increase? Elohim forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein?" If you are not breaking the law, you are dead to the law. A righteous person does not need the law. The law is for the unrighteous. The law is still in effect, and grace is not a free ticket to break the law. The churches teach that we are under grace, so don't worry about the law because it was done away with. Verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it," meaning obey the sin, "in the lusts thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto Elohim, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto Elohim. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace, or the promise, or divine influence. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under the promise, or divine influence? Elohim forbid. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to the one whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? Who do you serve, the Haimi Jesus, or the Messiah Yeshua?" Verse 15 shows that when we obey his laws, we are under his grace, or favor, or divine influence. Verse 16 shows that we are servants who obey either sin or law. If you obey sin, you get no favor. You reject divine influence and his loving commitment. Those who sin are not under grace. Those pew warmers under grace still sin. That is why we must repent and pray daily, seek and study his word. Verse 17, but Elohim be thanked, or divine thanks, that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Praise Yahweh for his lovingly committed ones who were once servants of sin, that have responded to the divine influence written on the heart to believe and obey his doctrine. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin, meaning forgiven, and become servants to Elohim, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, or divine gratuity, of Elohim is eternal life through Yeshua Christ, our Prince. Not through just believing, but through knowledge and understanding of truth, repentance, a change of mind and lifestyle, and through the loving commitment he has towards us, which we must have towards our brethren. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love Elohim, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The children of Jacob are the called ones. Christ is of the called seed line and is our example. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If Elohim be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for the sake of us all, how shall he not with him also freely give, or graciously grant, to us all things? We don't freely receive anything by just believing and claiming we are saved. We have a predestined purpose as Yahweh's children on the earth, and when we do what we are supposed to be doing, in the name of Yeshua and truth, then we can receive what is graciously granted to us. Romans 9:13. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Elohim? God forbid. For he said unto Moses, I will have mercy, or loving commitment, on whom I will have loving commitment, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runs, but of Elohim that shows mercy, or loving commitment. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore has he mercy, or loving commitment, on whom he will have loving commitment, and whom he will harden. Mercy is from G 1653, Eleeo, meaning compassion, pity, divine loving commitment, the same meaning from the Old Testament words. Loving commitment. Verse 21, Has not the potter power over the clay, or of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor? Referring to Jacob, honor, and Esau, dishonor. Esau is the father of the Edomite Jews. Verse 23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, or loving commitment, which he had afore prepared unto glory. If you read the book of Obadiah, which is about the children of Esau, you will see that Yahweh has no mercy, no pity, no compassion, and no loving commitment for the Jews, and that they will all be destroyed at his coming. Praise Yahweh. Romans 11:5. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace, or divine influence. Only a remnant keeps the word, even today. The churches are not the remnant. They are a motley crew of 33,000 denominations who are deceived and follow the doctrine of Judaism, which is not Christianity. Verse 6, and if by grace, or divine influence, then it is no more of works or rituals. Otherwise, grace, or divine influence, is no more divine influence. But if it be of rituals, then it is no more grace or divine influence. The context is about the sacrificial rituals. The churches do not understand this and teach that it's not by good deeds that we get grace, and that we get grace just because God is so good and loves everybody. Many places in Scripture, especially James, teaches that we must show our faith or belief by our works. Favor is the free gift or divine gratuity we get when we know and understand and follow Yahweh. You can't expect to get His divine gratuity if you are not a lovingly committed one with the right belief. The Israelites in Judea still, to some extent, retained their heritage and continued in the Torah. Those Israelites that did not return to Judea after the captivities and had settled elsewhere had forgot their heritage and the way of the Torah. This was because Yahweh had divorced Israel when he sent the Assyrians and Babylonians to punish them and carry them off for their idolatry and race mixing. But he also promised their reconciliation, because he keeps his promises and loving commitment to his people. That's why their eyes were darkened and walked in darkness among the nations. Romans 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Elohim forbid. But rather through their fall salvation is come unto the dispersed nations of Israel, for to provoke them to jealousy. Paul is saying for the Judeans who had the law to not be jealous of the dispersed nations who did not have the law, but are Israelites as well, and receive the same grace or favor as themselves. Verse 15, for if the casting away of them, referring to the dispersed nations of Israel, is the restoration of the society, what is their acceptance but life from the dead? When Israel was cast off, it was because they were hurting the society with their idolatry and their race mixing. They became pagan. They were the walking dead. Yahweh's loving commitment to them is the grace, or divine influence, of reconciling them back to Him and their people. Verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. Jacob was holy, his seed was called out. Holy means set apart. The branches here are the descendants of Judah, namely Zerah. Zerah was the twin of Pharez through Tamar. Zerah's descendants left Egypt before the Exodus and settled Troy and later Rome. These are the wild olives whose branches were broken off. All Israelites that have forgotten who they were are wild branches. Our people sitting in their own pew on the day of the sun god are wild branches. Verse 17, and if some of the branches be broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root, you. You will say then, the branches are broken off, that I might be grafted in? Correct. Because of disobedience, they were broken off, and you stand by the belief. Be not high-minded, but reverent. For if Elohim spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not you. Paul was telling the Judeans and the dispersed nations that they were of the same tree, not to boast because one had the law and the others didn't. They were all of the same lump. Verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of Elohim. On them which fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise you also shall be cut off. John 15:2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he cleanses it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Continuing with verse 23. And they also, if they continue not in unbelief, or disobedience, shall be grafted in, for Elohim is able to graft them in again. Notice the word again. Only something that was broken off can be grafted back to its original. Remember, kind after kind. Verse 24. For if you were cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the dispersed nations of Israel be come in. To know the mystery, you have to know the history. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, dispersed Israel are on your account enemies, but as touching the choice, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. Paul emphasizes that the dispersed 10 tribes are Israelites as well, so don't be jealous. They are your brethren. Verse 29, for the gifts, or divine gratuity and calling of Elohim are without regret. For as you, Israelites of the house of Judah, in past times have not believed or have disobeyed Elohim, yet have now obtained or were shown mercy or loving commitment through their unbelief or disobedience. The Greek has the last part as, yet you were shown mercy to the stubbornness of these ones. In other words, the house of Judah was shown mercy to the house of Israel, who were in disobedience and stubbornness, mostly because of ignorance. Verse 31, even so have these of the house of Israel also now not believed, or being disobedient, that through your mercy, or loving commitment, they also may obtain loving commitment. For Elohim has concluded them all in unbelief or disobedience, that he might have mercy or loving commitment upon all. The you in verse 30 is talking to the house of Judah, the Judahites in Rome. Paul told the Roman Judahites that they were disobedient too. The these in verse 31 are talking about the house of Israel, the dispersed. These were the Israelites that were scattered elsewhere after the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities and forgot their heritage. Neither of these houses were righteous, the house of Judah, the circumcised, and the house of Israel, the uncircumcised. When Christ came, he reconciled both houses under the better covenant. The old covenant was made with both houses as well, but the house of Israel did not return after the captivity and had forgotten his way. They became pagans. The churches teach that the new covenant is with the church and the Gentiles. The scriptures teach that both houses went separate ways and that the gospel is the message to both houses, to bring them back into the understanding of who and whose they are. The theme does not change. Both houses are Israelites and under the covenants and promises made to Abraham. In chapter 12, Paul explains that we are all pieces of the same body, each with different functions. All, meaning all of the descendants of the tribes of Israel. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace, or divine influence, given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as Elohim has dealt to every man the measure of belief. Paul was favored by Yahweh to teach the lost and forgetful Israelites of the house of Israel. The measure of faith, or belief, is the measure of your loving commitment to him. Verse 6. Having then gifts, or divine gratuity, differing according to the grace, or divine influence, that is given to us, whether interpretation of prophecy, let us interpret according to the proportion of faith, or according to the proportion of the belief. The Greek, verse 7, if serving in the serving, or he that is teaching in the teaching, or he that encourages on encouragement, he that is sharing, let him do it with sincerity. He that is leading with diligence, he that shows mercy or compassion or loving commitment with cheerfulness. In verse 6, the proportion of faith is the depth of knowledge and obedience of the belief. If you follow Yahweh, he will show you loving commitment and fill you with knowledge and understanding to interpret prophecy and the good message. Romans 15:7. Wherefore, receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of Elohim. Now I say that Yeshua Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of Elohim, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. When Christ came, he came to Judea, where the house of Judah, the two southern tribes, returned after the Babylonian captivity. They were the circumcision. That's why Scripture says, to Judah first, then the dispersed nations of the house of Israel. Verse 9. And that the dispersed nations of Israel might glorify Elohim for his mercy, or loving commitment, as it is written, for this cause I will confess you among the nations, and sing unto your name. We don't use the term Gentiles, because it is not used in the original writings. It's a Latin word which simply means a nation or race of people. Gentiles should always be nations, and it is speaking of the 12 nation tribes of Israel. Only Jacob's children are called sheep, the sheep of the house of Judah and the sheep of the house of Israel. John 10:16, and other sheep I have, meaning the house of dispersed Israel, which are not of this fold, meaning the house of Judah. Them also, the house of Israel, I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Continuing in verse 13, now the Elohim of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in expectation through the power of the Holy Spirit. The expectation is from knowing your heritage and what you can expect if you follow and seek Christ. Verse 14, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness or beneficence, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace or divine influence that is given to me of Elohim, that I should be the minister or servant of Yeshua Christ to the dispersed nations of Israel, ministering the gospel of Elohim, that the offering up of the nations of Israel might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul was favored by Yahweh to teach the scattered Israelites that forgot him. Yahweh does not forget his people. His grace is truly amazing.